I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. 7 years ago and 26 days, I had a heart attack. And I don't want you to ever have a heart attack if you haven't already had one. But it remains true that many, many people in this country do have heart disease, do have heart attacks. From 1999 to 2009, the rate of death related to cardiovascular disease actually declined, but it still accounts for 32.3% of all deaths. Our guest this hour says 80% of heart disease is preventable. So you will get guidelines for nutrition, physical activity guidelines, guidelines for where your cholesterol ought to be and your blood pressure should be. And to anybody who pledges this hour, the National Institutes of Health, National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institutes booklet for you, which is filled with recipes that even I can probably put together. Keep the beat recipes, deliciously healthy recipes. We're happy to keep you from having heart disease. So the pledge number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Our guest this hour is Dr. Stacy Gardner, cardiologist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Heart failure is her special area, but she knows all about healthy hearts and women and heart disease. This, of course, is February, which is also Heart Month. And so we're welcome to ask you to join our conversation, and let me give you the call-in number as well, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Dr. Gardner, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kathleen.
It is a huge number of people who die from heart attacks or heart disease, and yet we think probably that it's cancer, don't we?
That is a common misconception. You know, not that long ago, about one out of five women believed that cancer was their number one threat. And in fact, it is heart disease. About one in three deaths in women and one in three deaths in general are related to cardiovascular disease.
And you have said this is really an astounding figure. 80% of heart disease may be preventable. Really?
That is correct.
Wow.
Certainly there are those factors which are non-modifiable, you know, certainly your age, gender, and there are some heredity and race related factors that that are not modifiable, but there are many things, including your blood pressure, tobacco use, diabetes, and your blood cholesterol, which are definitely modifiable, in addition to your diet and your physical activity level.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that we've been putting so much more emphasis on women and heart disease? Has it been that many women don't realize the signals of a heart attack because they can be so different than men's?
That is true. It is still true that chest pain is the most common presenting complaint for both men and women, but it's important to understand that about one in three patients, when they present with a heart attack, never had chest pain and don't present with chest pain. Women tend to experience pain different, so a typical sort of description of angina or pain related to blockage in the heart is that, you know, we see the male kind of clutching his chest, you know, the elephant standing on the chest sort of description, a real profound sort of tightness in the chest. But in fact, women tend to get more nondescript pain. Sometimes their pain is not at all on their chest. Sometimes it's in their arm, and not even just their left arm. It can be in, you know, both arms or their right arm. Some women get pain in their jaw or pain in their back. So they really do have kind of a different experience of pain at times. A lot of patients, and, you know, the patients that I've taken care of, women that have had heart attacks have had no pain at all. They, in fact, have had more issues with shortness of breath, a profound sort of fatigue, which is really not explainable by any other factor. That's a big thing. you know, sweating, sort of nauseousness. I've heard a lot of different stories. I've had several women actually even, you know, kind of almost describe like they thought they just had a really bad flu before they came in with their event.
And for women, I'm wondering if this is true for men as well, that when you mention those risk factors, 90% of women have one or more risk factors for developing heart disease. How many does it take before you're a full-blown candidate for heart disease?
Well, you know, given that one in three of us are going to die of a heart-related cause, obviously, it doesn't take, you know, many of these risk factors to really start to alter the course.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering about the role. Must confess on the air, I've done this before, but it's been a lot of years since I've talked about my heart attack. Thank goodness, because I've been okay since then. But I think I was probably a candidate because I did have risk factors, but my heart attack happened during a time of inordinate stress. I mean, unbelievable stress in my life. So I think it would have happened down the road a bit, but it was a confluence of circumstances that I could feel it in my body every day, just the tension everywhere. And yeah, I actually could almost feel it in my chest that I had so much to do and all these pressures, and there was illness in my family, and I was commuting a long way and trying to work and raise a child, and I wound up with a heart attack. Is there anything to that a huge amount of stress can cause it to happen at a certain time?
Yeah, absolutely. Stress is not listed as one of the major risk factors, but it is listed as one of the, you know, sort of minor risk factors. But yes, I mean, stress certainly is a contributor to the development of heart disease for sure.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask what type of symptom did you have with your event?
Well, sure you can. it was in my jaw. It was, I didn't feel it anywhere. I was swimming the day before, to tell you the truth. I had a lot of stress, but I thought, oh, I'll go to the pool. I'll relieve all this stress. So I'm a big swimmer. I exercise a lot. And I was bringing clothes up from the basement. It was a Monday morning, and all I knew it was something. I mean, it was a feeling. It's hard to describe it because it's like the whole world is going a bit crazy, and you feel like it's swirling around you. But it was in the jaw. It was not in the chest at all.
Right.
Yeah. So, but here I am. I mean, you can still live through it.
Yes.
But it was not very pleasant. Got to tell you that.
Yeah, this would have been my mother-in-law. Actually had a similar story, but not as a favorable of ending. My husband's family lives in the sort of the rural Oregon coast area where there's not a lot of access to sort of medical care, cardiac cath labs and such. And she had complained of jaw pain over the course of months, and was, you know, never really underwent any sort of cardiac diagnostics, and was told to lose weight. And then she, you know, came in with the big event, and, you know, not being in an area where that kind of care was available, she ended up, dying, having a cardiac arrest as a result of her event.
Oh, you really do need medical care right away, don't you?
That's right. Time is everything in terms, you know, with both heart attack and stroke, actually.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Dr. Gardner. And here is how you reach us. She can give all kinds of, she's a cardiologist, so she can give you information on preventing heart disease. If you already have heart disease, what it is you need to do in terms of exercise, how often you need to exercise, the kind of exercise you need to do. If you want guidelines for where your cholesterol levels should be, you'll be, I think, surprised when she talks about how early it should be in your life when you get your first cholesterol test. We will talk about that. The differences between heart failure, heart attack, heart disease, what procedures are done when somebody has a heart attack, or sometimes even before you have a heart attack, there can be procedures done that will open your arteries. And some of you, I'm sure, have been through what I've been through or versions thereof, and can give your own stories and advice as to how you may have lived differently. So that it wouldn't have happened to you. We welcome your phone calls, and here's how you reach our conversation. It's Heart Month. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we would love to hear from you. 80% of heart disease is preventable, so let's bring those statistics down and figure out how to prevent it. Dr. Stacy Gardner is a cardiologist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and this, in addition to keeping your heart healthy, this is also a time for you to keep Wisconsin Public Radio healthy. It's our winter membership drive. You count on this Wisconsin Ideas Network to talk about all of the issues that matter to you, and we count on you to keep these discussions on the air. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 48 members.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. It was such a wonderful hour. Thank you so much for those gifts. Our goal this hour is to get to 50 pledges.
Support the station you love and help us meet our goal when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What I really love about the Ideas Network is that you hear from the person who wrote the bill. You hear from the person who wrote the book, who has this really unique expertise. We're happy. We love to seek these people out and get them on the show. And I think we feel really privileged to be able to do that. But it's your support that makes all of that possible. Make really great radio happen right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And because, Lisa, this is a fairly personal hour for me and a very important hour for everybody's heart, I'm really thankful to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, and the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, because they have made available to our listeners who pledge any amount, but we hope you'll be able to pledge as much as possible, this terrific cookbook. It's Keep the Beat recipes, deliciously healthy dinners, even for people like me. I don't have very much time to cook, and I've always wanted to cook, so maybe I will now. But you look under poultry, oven-crusted chicken breast, and Asian-style chicken wraps, cornbread-crusted turkey. It's a large book, and it's heart-healthy recipes, and it's for you for pledging. So we're going to keep you from heart disease. We're going to keep you healthy and happy eating, and what a good thing. So I would say pledge now for all the right reasons. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And we invite you to go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Again, maybe I didn't make that clear. That heart-healthy cookbook is yours when you give any amount. So we ask for a pledge of $5, $10, or $20 a month, but ask for it when you make a pledge, and we're very happy to give it to you. And may your heart be strong, and long may you live.
And the beauty about making this voluntary donation is that you get to decide how much to give. It's not so much, you know, because how much you give isn't as important as the fact that you do give and you do support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Contributing is your choice. And because WPR is something you value, you will probably find that donating feels good. So find out right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 a month. That's good.
That's definitely good. And when you're listening to the Ideas Network, you may find, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with what that guest is saying. I don't know if I agree with what that caller was saying. But that's actually a really, really, really good thing. It means that you're hearing multiple points of view and that you're fully engaged in a real conversation.
We provide different perspectives all the time, and you can count on WPR for that kind of experience. We are listener supported. Your gift right now keeps a diversity of opinions on the radio. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is super easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
We are listener supported, and it's important that you know what that means. Listener supported. Your donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. Seriously, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, perhaps you've already made a donation this year, or maybe you're a sustaining member. Thank you so, so very much. And we're happy to accept an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And this is a great hour to do that because you can get that extra special recipe book. So don't sit this hour out. You'll help make this drive successful and you'll support the programs you enjoy every day.
We're looking for 49 pledges in 36 minutes or so. So your gift right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552 will support the programs that you count on.
And as an added bonus, ask for the Keep the Beat cookbook of heart healthy recipes. And that's, like Kathleen said, a pledge of any amount. So maybe $5, $10, or even $20 a month. Pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For all who contribute once a year, several times a year, if you're a sustaining member, thank you. If you'd like to become a sustaining member, it's easy to set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It provides reliable funding for WPR.
I love this comment. Suzanne from Madison says, I've listened to WPR for many, many years. It is a meditative experience.
Nice.
How true is that? Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Julita and Rijard from Madison, which is nice too. Your programming helps to create better citizens, hear ye, conscientious neighbors, and a more involved and educated society. Its value is incomparable.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's nice.
So make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Lisa. We're talking about your heart and keeping you from having heart disease or coping with it this hour. Dr. Stacy Gardner is our guest, cardiologist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. And our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Before we go to phone calls, I was interested in the recommendations for an initial cholesterol screening. It's fairly young, Dr. Gardner.
Right. The initial screening recommendation is at age 20. And if your numbers are optimal at that point, then every 5 years or so following that.
And how important is your family history when it comes to your cholesterol?
It's very important. Actually, heredity probably has a lot more to do with cholesterol than even in diet. About 20% of the circulating cholesterol is from your diet. The rest is made from your liver. So there definitely is people who have high cholesterol that are doing the right things, but because of heredity and family history, they are put in a higher risk category despite following a good diet.
We keep hearing different kinds of advice about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. Have dietary recommendations changed in the last years or so? Why do we keep hearing that something's good for you and then maybe it's not, and then maybe you can eat, red meat again and then you shouldn't?
Right. One of the things I think in the most recent press, even in the last month, there was a comment that, maybe eggs have been getting a bad rep all these years. Back in the 1980s, I remember there was a Time magazine where there was a picture of eggs and how cholesterol was very, very evil. Things have really changed kind of over the years. There's a dietary guidelines that come out. The last set came out in 2010, and the most current set of guidelines will be coming out later this year in 2015. I do think that there will be a change in the cholesterol component of the guidelines. Currently, they do recommend a level of about 300 milligrams of dietary cholesterol per day, but they are finding that again, the dietary cholesterol only really affects the levels mildly to marginally.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's go to phone calls, and we'll start with Louise in Wauwatosa. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Kathleen. We are sustainers and have been for many years.
Thanks,
this
Louise.
We upped it by $10, so I'm going to get a T-shirt.
Great.
So
nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, my number. My question is: my physician ordered a more advanced lipid profile for me this year, which included particle numbers and particle sizes.
Right.
And it turned out that my LDL particle number was 1308, and the reference is 1,000,
right,
with an LDL calculated of 112. Is there anything that I can do to bring that down?
And you better describe the LDL and HDL for us, too, if you would, Dr. Gardner.
Sure. The LDL component of the cholesterol is what's called the bad cholesterol. That is the main contributor to the buildup of plaque within the arteries. The HDL cholesterol, which is also known as the good cholesterol, actually helps prevent the accumulation of plaque within the arteries. The good cholesterol is actually very hard to treat medically with medications. It tends to go up or be more favorable with exercise. And the bad cholesterol, so there is some component that's related to the diet and some component that's related to heredity. And again, about 75-80% of the cholesterol is made in the liver.
What about the triglyceride number? Does that factor into heart disease?
Right. There definitely is some increased risk of heart disease with elevated triglycerides. Usually the optimal goal of triglycerides is probably under about 150. The primary target, though, is the LDL cholesterol.
Right. And Louise, I'm not sure we completely answered what you wanted to know. I didn't mean to leave you hanging there. Go ahead, Louise.
Yeah, I was wondering, the more advanced test gives the particle size as mm-hmm. small or large, and then a particle number.
Right.
And this is apparently sort of a new
right.
test. Is it more sophisticated? And at a moderate level, should I be concerned and seek further information like a CT calcium heart scan or something like that?
Right. Have you discussed the results with your the ordering physician yet?
Yeah, she wasn't particularly concerned about it.
Right. So what are your, do you have any other risk factors for heart disease, meaning particular diabetes
okay.
or...
I don't have anything except a pretty strong family history on the maternal side. My mother had a heart attack probably about 2 years beyond my age.
Hmm. Okay. I think, you know, the things that you can do, you know, to improve the profile, you know, physical activity definitely can improve your cholesterol profile. So what we recommend is that people get 30 minutes of structured sort of exercise, you know, moderate level exercise, meaning something like just walking for 30 minutes a day most days of the week. Some people can't, you know, do that for a sustained period initially, and so even breaking that up into increments is still beneficial. Or, you know, alternately, a more vigorous exercise, you know, so something like running would be recommended for about 75 minutes a week. So, you know, the physical activity in itself can improve the cholesterol profile. You know, watching your diet. We do, and there's a recommendation that probably, you know, less than 10% of the calories that you consume are saturated fats. So those, you know, those are the things that you could probably do, you know, in terms of lifestyle and diet and physical activity. There are definitely some people that, you know, do require medication therapy such as statins. And the most recent set of cholesterol guidelines came out just a little over a year ago, November of 2013. And they're pretty clear as to which groups they wanted treated on statins. So, you know, basically what it boils down to is anybody who has an absolute LDL over 190, so a bad cholesterol of over 190, those people usually have a familial or hereditary sort of cholesterol disorder. Those patients should be on a statin medication. Diabetics who are between the age of 40 and 75 should be on a statin medication. And then, you know, patients who have a prior history of not only coronary disease, so if you've had any blockage issues in your heart or blockage issues with the vessels in your legs or history of stroke, should be on a high-dose statin. And then the fourth group, which is kind of the more controversial group, is they came out with a risk calculator that you can find online that calculates your 10-year risk of basically a cardiac event. And if your risk, you plug in things like your age and various lab values and blood pressure and such, and if you're 10-year risk is over 7.5%, they do recommend that those individuals go on statin therapy as well. But it can be a very individualized thing, and always, you know, conversation with your primary doctor is always a good place to start.
Right. What is your recommendation? We've had several emails. Should people be taking a baby aspirin?
So for prevention purposes, women, over the age of 65, and they don't have any other bleeding history, probably, you know, less than that age, and otherwise low risk, probably don't need to take a baby aspirin.
Okay. Let's go next to Jan in Minnesota. Hi, Jan.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Dan.
Great. Hi, Kathleen and Dr. Gardner. Thank you so much. I'm on the road. I hope my battery doesn't die. My cell phone started beeping a little bit during the last caller, so hopefully it'll keep me up here. So my dad is 94 years old, and he has been healthy on no prescription drugs whatsoever all the way through 93 and a half years old.
Now he's doing something right.
He's been active, and I take him bowling once a week. We've done that for the past 2 years, and just doing really, really well. But unfortunately, a few weeks ago, he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and which my mom also has, by the way, and she was diagnosed over 20 years ago. She's doing fine today. But anyway, so they put him on Lasix, and he immediately started having really, really bad side effects. He had diarrhea accidents. He had what I would call, you know, dementia-type confusion. It was like when I was talking to him, I felt like it wasn't my dad. You know, it was like he was on drugs or something. And he started thinking that they lived in their old house that they haven't been in for a year, and he just was not himself at all.
Wow, so that was that the only medication that was started at that time, just a water pill?
On it, and, you know, we took him off of it.
Okay.
And so then the cardiologist was going to put a third wire on his pacemaker,
right,
and hopefully help his heart function better. And we're going to do that at the end of March. But in the meantime, he's really going downhill fast, energy-wise. He can't even walk to the end of the hallway now. And I feel like he needs to get on a diuretic. I mentioned a couple of letters that I had read up on to the cardiologist, and he said that they were too strong. One was Bumex, and
right,
I don't remember the other one. And he said, he said, I really have to recommend Lasix. And
Yeah, I mean, Lasix usually is the, you know, in somebody who is what we say diuretic naive, meaning they've never had diuretics, usually a small dose of Lasix is the first, sort of the first line that we go to. We'll usually use Bumex or Reserve Bumex or Bumetanide. That's another form of diuretic. In patients that are less responsive to Lasix, sometimes people who are on Lasix for a while, they get tolerant to it and they don't quite respond as well. The Bumex definitely is more potent than Lasix. And then there are some other diuretics too that are a little more potent. But Lasix out of is not as potent, and usually you know, I don't know if the dose was just too high for him. Sometimes, you know, we have to really consider patients who are elderly and, you know, again, naive to these medications, never had them before. He should respond to a fairly low dose of Lasix, you know, 20 milligrams. He should be responsive to. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, if his labs were checked or if there was some, you know, metabolic issue that his electrolytes or his kidney function were off, and that was responsible for his symptoms. So it's hard to say, but Lasix usually is the first line that we would go to in terms of a diuretic for heart failure.
Thank you very much, and I hope he lives much longer and that everything, the right medication is found. Thanks very much for your call. We'll continue our conversation. We're talking during February about your heart and your heart health, and our guest is Dr. Stacy Gardner, cardiologist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Coronary artery disease is the number one killer of men and women in this country. We think it's cancer, but it's heart disease. The number has gone down a little bit recently, but there are still things that we can do. 80% of heart disease is preventable. We're talking about once you have it, how it can be treated, and how to keep from getting it this hour of the program, and welcoming phone calls for the doctor. A couple lines are open. 800-486-8655 is our number. This is also, it's a busy hour, Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. Lisa Nabandian is joining me. Listener contributions, I think you know, are the single largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. So make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 20 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 32 more pledges. So right now is a great time to make your gift to support the station you love.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, please help us stay on track by making your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is such a great show, and there's a big reason why. One, obviously, all the topics are in-depth.
Yes.
And that's only part of it. But to make in-depth, you can present in-depth topics, but to make them really interesting and accessible is kind of like the secret sauce. And that's what you get here every single day. You don't get anything like this anywhere else. And this show is possible pledge by pledge, only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So pledge right now. 888-202-2552 or online, WPR.org.
And this is a special hour because of my past history with heart problems, and also because all of you who pledge this hour will send you this terrific recipe book. You know, I'm not a big cook person, but I will use some of these recipes. They're very interesting and they look delicious. It's Keep the Beat Cookbook. It's heart healthy recipes, and they're for you when you make a contribution of any amount. So why not make a pledge? We appreciate you making a pledge of, you know, some substantial amount if you can. A pledge of $5, $10, even $20 a month. Your donation will support all the programs you count on. Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You probably know that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we get funding from the federal government and from the state. But listener contributions are kind of our game changer. They make up the single largest source of our income.
Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. You know how important listener support is, so make the pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, I've been a member since 1978, as far as I can remember, when I graduated college, and I realized I better start paying everything back for which I owe, and more than just my parents. There's a whole lot of things for which I think I needed to pay. I'm a member, and I dare you to find me any reason not to contribute. I'll bet you can't find a reason. I think it's a lot more important to find a reason to contribute.
Thank you. That was lovely. You've probably heard the news about the proposed cuts to state funding of Wisconsin public broadcasting. The state's investment has brought a wide range of public broadcasting services to Wisconsin, like preparing children for school, resources for K through 12 education, and the ability to broadcast throughout the state.
Meanwhile, listener support, your support, keeps WPR programming strong. So thank you so much for your financial support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge may be $5 a month. It might be $100 a month. We do appreciate and we count on your gift.
We value all the beautiful parts of Wisconsin. The great parks, the great forests, and the great rivers are some of the best things about living here.
And actually, so many people have said this, Lisa, that WPR is a natural resource, too. Mm-hmm. It's available to everyone. It's been around almost 100 years. It's fundamental to living in this state. With your pledge, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. So contribute now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Kathleen. And if you're trying to figure out the best way to fit a contribution or a membership to WPR in your budget, you can become a sustaining member. And what that means is you'll make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or bank account.
And a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The amount is up to you. You'll be an ongoing member of WPR, and it will build a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. Contribute right now. Become a member sustainer at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Kathleen, I think you mentioned this yesterday, that a $10 a month contribution to WPR is just over 30 cents a day, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
When you think about that, because I'm sure I don't, but you know, you may spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things you value a lot less.
Absolutely. A lot less. So spend a little right now and get a whole lot in return. Join, renew, or make an extra gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Whether you go online or call, you'll be investing in a station that you use.
We're just wrapping up the hour and we're looking for 31 more pledges. You make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And these hours don't come along all that often, so ask for Keep the Beat Cookbook of Heart-Healthy Recipes. There are many of them. It's a lovely book, great recipes, your pledge of any amount. So why not make a pledge of $5, $10, even $20 a month? Keep your heart healthy, keep us healthy. Everything is good.
And hey, if you're already a sustainer, like Kathleen described, maybe today's the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. And you can also do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. It's what you give to us is very important, so we can give to you. Thanks, Lisa. We are talking about your heart and the healthiness of your heart this hour with Dr. Stacy Gardner, cardiologist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and we're welcoming phone calls for her. Janet in Burlington is our next caller. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Great. I'm actually outside a doctor's office, so I'm going to offer this public service announcement. This is something that I learned on watching a Rosie O'Donnell special on TV. So Rosie O'Donnell herself was a victim of what they call the widowmaker, which is the worst heart attack you can have.
She said
that her symptoms, because they were so off the chart and bizarre, she didn't know that she was actually having a heart attack. And the acronyms that she's using to teach women what these symptoms can be are HEPPP, and I wanted to share that with your audience. H stands for hot. She said she felt hotter than she ever felt in her life, hotter than any menopausal symptom. E was exhausted. She felt like she was walking through mud. P was pain. Again, her pain was odd. It was in her jaw and in her neck. She was pale. Her son commented that she was paler than a ghost. And then the last P stands for puke. She said she puked up this whitish liquid that was kind of a bizarre way of being nauseous and bizarre for a nausea symptom. But I wanted to just share that quickly with the audience and with you all. I have to run into a doctor, but I hope that people find this helpful.
Thank you so much. I actually did see that that video from Rosie O'Donnell, and I will definitely echo that. You know, those are not uncommon symptoms in all patients, but especially women.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call. We haven't talked very much about treatment. What are the common treatments for heart attack? And do we have great advances in this field to keep people alive?
So when a patient has, I want to go through some of the terminology of what actually a heart attack is. The heart has blood vessels that are on the outside of it called coronary arteries, which are basically supplying oxygen and nutrients to the muscle. And, you know, over time, the insides of those blood vessels can build up with, atherosclerosis, cholesterol, plaque, sort of fat. These plaques build up in the inside of the walls, and the plaques can actually rupture, and those plaques can then move downstream and kind of cause a blockage in that artery, and then even clot can form on top of that. When the vessel, is blocked to the point where it's depriving that portion of the muscle of oxygen and nutrients, that part of the muscle can actually die and scar, and that part of the muscle is damaged. That is, essentially what a heart attack is. Again, this happens about every 34 seconds in this country.
Goodness.
And somebody dies from a heart attack every 1 minute in this country. So the treatments for a heart attack, at any heart attack, regardless of whether or not the vessel is able to be opened up with a stent, the treatments always involve medication.
Mm-hmm.
So when a patient has a heart attack, they are placed on a medicine to keep the platelets in the blood from sticking together, something like aspirin. Often patients are also placed on an additional blood thinner called something like Plavix or clopidogrel, which is another blood thinner that helps keep the stent open. Additionally, there are some medications that are protective to the heart that, lower the blood pressure, lower the heart rate, and kind of decrease the demand on the heart. These medications are beta blockers, and in other medications called ACE inhibitors can actually help optimize the way the heart squeezes after a heart attack. So patients usually go home on a cocktail of medications, and it almost always also includes a statin medication for cholesterol. This is regardless, even if their cholesterol levels are low or normal, they're often still placed on a statin because they do have additional benefits for decreasing the inflammation in these plaques, and they have additional benefits from preventing further events.
Right.
But when people come in, and they have evidence of a heart attack and they're having ongoing pain, often at a institution like we're at Frater, the Medical College of Wisconsin, we look at their EKG, and there's certain types of heart attacks which are very, dangerous. And these types of patients go to the catheterization lab emergently. And ideally, we like to try to open their blood vessel from the time they get into the door to the time that the balloon is opened in their blood vessel. That should be less than 90 minutes. And here at Frater, we definitely are well below that.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Michelle in Winter. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Just a couple weeks ago, I was happened to be bending down picking something up, mm-hmm. and I felt something in the middle of my chest kind of like shoot through, and when I stood up, my husband said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "But that didn't feel too good." And then since then, I've been having like small pings or pangs in the middle of my chest,
mm-hmm.
and once in a while, I feel it in my right arm or sometimes in my left arm. And sometimes up by my collarbone, it feels really achy.
Right.
And I don't know if those are symptoms of a heart attack or if that could be something else.
Yeah, those those could be symptoms potentially related to the heart. Again, you know, those, your description is not the classic description, but again, you know, women can have more unusual presentations of pains in their chest and sometimes involving, you know, their arms. So, you know, I definitely would seek medical attention for those, you know, especially if it doesn't sound like there's any other real good explanation for those sorts of symptoms that you're having. And at minimum, you know, it may sound like you might need a stress test to, you know, see if there's evidence of blockage.
Time to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Michelle.
Thanks.
And all the best to you. It's time to, and it's good that you called now and that you will go to the doctor sooner, too, which is a good thing. Well, darn, I could talk to you for a long, long time, but we have to ask for support. Dr. Gardner, can you give us a place to go? I know you've done this extensive PowerPoint on heart health and strokes and heart failure, et cetera. Is there a place to go just to learn more?
Right. So a really good site. I do some work with the American Heart Association, and I'm involved with their Go Red campaign.
Great.
But the American Heart Association has a very good website. It's www.heart.org.
Okay.
And they have, it's very laid out very nicely in terms of different conditions, including, you know, cholesterol disorders, high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, and it goes through, you know, all the risk factors. It goes through the various treatments, and it goes through nutrition and physical activity guidelines and such. So it's a really nice website for anybody to look at, and they even have recipes and you know, a lot of good resources that you can utilize there. So
excellent.
I would recommend going there. I did have a chance to look at the cookbook that you're giving out, and I agree that it has some really nice recipes, and I'm also not a good cook, but it looks like they're fairly
they
easy
do
to
look
make.
Good. Right, don't they?
And just an extra plug for you, I actually, in the break, did donate myself. That's how easy it was. So.
Oh, Dr. Gardner, so. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll have you on again for a longer period of time. You've been a great help to us, and particularly to the last caller who will be going to a doctor now, which is a good thing. Dr. Stacy Gardner, cardiologist at Fraydert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. We thank her for pledging as well. And the cookbook she's referring to is for anybody who pledges this hour. I hope you'll call in with a $10 or $20 a month, which would be nice, or pledge in honor of somebody who has heart disease. That's a good thing. It's a great cookbook. Delicious recipes. Don't take a lot of time. And to pledge, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian joining me in our Milwaukee studios. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this, to keep you healthy and your heart healthy, and your support will make that happen. Give now. Any amount will make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We have about 5 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 18 pledges. So your support helps keep this station strong, and it helps it lets us bring you these kinds of conversations that are just so important that aren't being heard anywhere else. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dr. Gardner was informative and very approachable, and what an important topic, your heart health conversations. We have all kinds of them on this show.
Mm-hmm. So take a few minutes right now to make this hour, this topic, and more hours and more topics like it possible. Choose a gift that works for you and make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge will matter, as you know, and it helps pay for all of the programs that you love on WPR. Ask for this book. I'm not kidding you. This is a good book. If you're like me and you're not an elaborate cook, but you like to eat good food, you hope somebody will cook for you, but every now and then you got to cook. You know how it is. You're going to like the book, and it's for anybody who pledges. We hope that you'll pledge 5, 10, 15 a month, 20 a month, but it's for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
maybe you're interested in playing a larger role of WPR. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. Leadership Circle members want to make sure public radio programming will be here today and tomorrow for all who listen. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know that you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day, and you know how important that it is to you. You want it to be here for the next generation. So everybody should have access to the quality news, information, music, entertainment that has nourished you.
Mm-hmm. So pledge your support right now. It's a building block for a stable future. You can invest in quality radio for yourself and the next generation coming up. It's perfect. Make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR, so we're asking you to keep your membership active.
You can think of your support of WPR like you think of other services you rely on and pay for, maybe your smartphone, your telephone, or your internet. Renew your subscription of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Lisa, we're looking for 18 more pledges. This is a great hour to pledge because it's going to get your heart healthy. Whatever amount you pledge, we're happy to send you this booklet put together by the National Institutes of Health. All kinds of recipes that are good for your heart, that are good for your well-being. Your gift of any amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Make sure to ask for the Keep the Beat cookbook. When you pledge, that's what you want to ask for. And like Kathleen said, it's a pledge of any amount. So now's the time to pledge.
Right.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Lisa, thank you very much. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour and to Scotty Myers for on-air production. Thanks to Katie Madsen for helping us with our pledge drive. And thanks to you, Lisa. And thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We can't do it without you.